shows right there.
I know.
You know, and I know you, your husband's UT guy.
Yep.
And really for me, my daughter's an Aggie, but my son has been a UT diehard since Vince Young won
yes.
the national championship. So kind of been a forced UT fan. Of course, always cheer for someone from Texas, but yeah. Man, how disappointing.
It was just like, it felt like such a good, close game. And then we were literally, I mean, what, a yard away from
yeah.
the end zone. And yeah. gosh, you know, just.
For those of you who didn't watch it, what was the score?
It ended up being, what, 28-14?
It doesn't matter. It was a scoop six for a double touchdown win. Yeah.
Gosh. And it was, did you hear them say that too? So Ewers used to be, he used to play for Ohio State. That's where he started. And it was his former roommate
right.
who actually picked, he
yeah. scooped it and
scooped it and ran it in.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He, big old guy, but he was athletic. And then it was just, man.
So we, you know, and friends, we don't like to dwell on the past. We like to look forward to a bright future,
correct.
Right? And so national championship, you guys got to pick Ohio State or Notre Dame.
I'm going Ohio State.
Kelsey's smart, so I'm going to go with Ohio State too.
Obviously, you've been really researching the lines and stuff.
All the time. Everything in sports. Yeah.
What about you?
I was born in Ohio. I was born across the street from the Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. So Ohio State, my dad, diehard Ohio State, my mom. And so, actually rooting for UT against Ohio State, but we all kid that we don't ever let my dad know that we're cheering for someone against Ohio State. So yeah, Ohio State, big time. I think they're
you
hot.
You stay loyal. Too.
Well, and you would hope that the person you lose to
yeah.
goes on to win it all.
Yeah.
That you don't lose to the loser.
Yeah.
But Notre Dame has kind of surprised
like
a
coach.
Couple people. I do too. I like
good
their
guy.
Coach.
I really like him.
And I think it's so interesting. I mean, obviously we've had that actually here in Friendswood, just at the high school level, but this trend in the NFL and in college football of younger and younger
yeah.
head coaches, I right. kind of dig it. Like, right. I think it's
yeah.
cool.
It's good.
I didn't even know that.
Hey, let's not be too hard on old guys.
I mean, there's today. A bounce, right? Like there's great things that come with experience, but also with new, fresh ideas.
I went through the airport this last weekend and the guy who looks at your license.
Yeah.
I actually looked at my license. I don't remember how long ago the picture was taken. And he looked at me and he goes, a lot more frost on the beard and the hair than
gosh.
This last time.
I can't believe he actually said that.
But he said, it looks distinguished. So
there,
he saved himself at the end.
A distinguished
yeah.
gentleman.
Yeah.
Wow.
But what he was just saying is, my, you look older than this picture.
That's terrible. That's terrible. I know Sean, he's like a chameleon. He looks, my husband, he looks so different throughout time. And so we've always said that. We're like, man, TSA may stop you because
yeah.
this photo looks
yeah.
nothing like you.
Right, right.
But with that.
Does he have his beard?
Well, yeah. he's had no beard. He mostly has had a beard. His hair's been much longer, a little bit shorter. Gained a few LBs, you know, just mm-hmm. different little things there. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. he's like
exactly.
a little chameleon. With that, though, welcome to season 4, episode 9 of Friendswood ISD's The Podcast with Kelsey Goals
and Sophia Armentor.
We're glad you're joining us today as we dive into all things FISD, share updates, stories, and insights from around our fabulous district. Whether you're a student, parent, teacher, or community member, we're so glad that you're tuning in. Today, we're joined by Superintendent Thad J. Rower.
Sound effects.
Oh, yeah. Especially for the man, the myth, the legend.
All right.
And we're just going to get into, we do this every year, beginning of the semester for fall and for spring, just kind of an update of what do we need to know? So you have had something every year since you started a superintendent, and this year is no different, right? So we're looking at potential weather closures next week. There's predicted, forecasted, possible freeze, snow.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a big deal. And I'm like, I know a lot of people would love to know as early as possible, but there's a lot that goes into these types of decisions. So let's talk through that a little bit.
Sure. So yesterday, everywhere I went, they were like, we going to school on Tuesday? And kids were telling me, I have actually an appointment with Lindsay Foley's daughter to talk about school closures. Oh. She's a elementary student. So yeah, everyone's looking for it. But, you know, school closures, it really three things we take into account. So first is, region four, which is just picture kind of Beltway eight, every school district inside and outside that touches Beltway eight down to the coast are members of region four. So we always start with something like this, with a weather call. So Sunday is when it is, Sunday at 3.
Yep.
So we get on and we hear from Jeff Lindner, who people are familiar with from going through hurricanes. And he gives us kind of a play-by-play, and we really have different weather stratospheres. Even in Region 4, you know, the Gulf Coast, the Gulf temperatures down in our end. So, you know, you really have the Tomballs, the Cyfairs, they're up there. Then we come down into the middle, you know, the Pearlands, the Clines, the different ones, and then down into Galveston County. So we hit that, we hear from them, we listen, superintendents chime in. Then after that, we do an immediate Galveston County. So just Galveston County gets on a Zoom. What did we hear? What do we know? And discuss that. Then we, National Weather Service, the city. So JT's going today. I don't remember what time it is, but he's going this afternoon. He'll hear from them, talk with Office of Emergency Management about what's going on in the area. And then our team starts processing what's going on. And so through those three things, that's where you gain the data points to make the decision. One of the most important data points in this, though, is we have a spreadsheet of the number of staff that live outside of the district. So we have plenty of people in Houston, live in the up in Houston area, people who live over the Beltway 8 Bridge in Pasadena. You know, we have a lot of people who travel in. And so, you know, a lot of times you look at the weather outside your window and you say, man, we could have had, you know, possibly had school today. You got to make the guess ahead of time because those people have to travel in, and yep. Bus drivers mm-hmm. start driving in at sometimes, before 4 in the morning.
Right.
To begin to get on their routes and do that. So that travel and safety for those people is key. And then surrounding school districts are very important because we all cross over on employees and kids.
Yep.
And if we go to school and other places close down, then our employees, what are they going to do with their kids? They don't come. Then we have subs. Subs won't come on a snow day. So it's mm-hmm. it's a web, you know, of how it looks and what goes down. But we try to get the message out as soon as we can. But we try to coordinate so someone doesn't close down and it picks up the momentum of like, why aren't we closed down? We try to coordinate that the best we can. And so sometimes trying now it just seems more and more in the good old days, we used to wake up in the morning and drive the roads and then, you know, do a call tree and we shut school down. But now we've just really kind of the demands of community and time is as early as we can get it.
Yes. And we totally understand, you know, we have, a lot of working parents and you're trying to plan for that as well. But I do want to emphasize, like, there's so much that goes into it and we do the best we can. And once we do know, we will push out that message via email, text, social media, website. There's no way for you to miss it.
So, I mean, with this one specifically, you know, again, we'll start on Sunday, but that doesn't necessarily mean we'll make the call. We don't go to school Monday. So right. Monday's a holiday for everyone. So we'll be shut down. But there'll be plenty, I'm certain, work to do that it's going to be doing. Kelsey, you and I will be
yes.
talking with each other on Monday for sure. So we'll We'll get it out as soon as we can.
And it seems like there's almost a Texas Gulf Coast weather trend, because I noticed that we almost a year to the day had a freeze last year.
Yeah.
Just about the same time.
The day after this holiday, I think we shut down.
Yeah, we were actually going back and looking. I was talking to Sophia because this will be potentially her first time going through a scenario like this with weather. And so we were talking about what this looks like and in our department. And we actually found the messages that we crafted last year, and it was for January 16th.
Yeah, isn't that
funny? It was the same day we were looking at them yesterday.
Yeah.
But no, we've said it's that it's his superintendency. There's always something. So, if you want to blame someone, feel free.
You're bringing the bad weather or good weather if you want the day off.
No, people will probably love it if we close.
Well, I'm just going to do something. I hope it is snow. I hope these kids get a chance to go play in the snow.
Make a snowman. You know,
that would be really cool.
It would be super cool.
Or a slush man or whatever.
Slush man. Yeah. Or snowman.
A little muddy. It's okay.
Yeah.
We'll still cherish those memories, right? So just wanted to give you all a little update on that. We will definitely be communicating, be monitoring throughout the weekend, and we'll let you'll know as soon as we make a decision. Monday night we had board meeting. And at that board meeting, there was a presentation where our board was updated on our big four initiatives for the year. I know we talked about that a little bit when you came on in the fall. Those four initiatives are ADA, which is average daily attendance, authentic learning, PBIS, and shared ownership. Do you want to give kind of an overview of what that looked like?
Yeah, let me just hit each of those briefly. And again, just to kind of review why these four, there's so many other things that we're working on. It doesn't mean the dashboard has less dials on it. It's just these dials, we felt like were difference makers, ADA in two ways. One is, and most importantly, is just, you know, kind of coming back from the COVID idea of absences and how important it is to be in front of our great staff and great teachers to get full maximum learning time and learning opportunities, how learning's changed so much that the time in school, the face-to-face time is so much more important now than it was maybe 10 or whatever years ago. So, and then the funding part of that is significant too. But I mean, funding aside, our main focus is on just, we want to see our kids in school and teachers for them. I'd even say it's a retention is when you have full classes, man, you want to be there. When you're always catching up with a number of students, it's hard.
Right. Yeah, those connections are huge. And just like a celebration, so we have different committees for each one of these big four pieces. And Sophie and I actually sit on the ADA committee, and there was a celebration at our meeting on Tuesday that every campus saw at least a 1-2% increase in average daily attendance for the fall semester. So that is... I mean, that's awesome.
I know that deserves an applause.
That's awesome. And that's a testament to, I think, just parents being a little more informed too of what chronic absenteeism is and the work of our staff to really emphasize like how important it is, like that we want your kids here. We want to love on your kids, and
we don't want anyone left behind.
Right. And it's more than just like it's more than just the curriculum that they're missing. It's the social emotional aspects of being in school. It's the employability of those students one day. Like you can't just miss work all the time, right? Like there's definitely soft skills that are built whenever you show up.
Awesome. Yep, that's exactly right. So we're really proud of our community and our kids and our parents for committing to that and jumping in and doing it. So we just need spring, you know, we start hitting some flu time here. Kelsey, you've had the flu already, you know what that's like. We start hitting some of that, and that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about scheduling maybe vacations or things at different times to be able to take advantage of being here. If you hit those sick dates, obviously, man, that's just part of it, you know.
And even just showing up for first period and staying throughout the day, because there are some important things that I think a lot of people can miss out on if they're even just a couple hours late to school.
Elementary, the morning meeting is the very first thing.
Yep.
And then they jump right into a lot, you know, phonics. And I mean, some of that key things, if you're a student, is that first 30, you know, 50 minutes of the day. And we really want you there.
For sure.
You know, secondly, authentic learning, and you can give it all kinds of titles: authentic learning, personalized learning, profound learning opportunities. And we got a really cool team that's working on that. Each of these has a team that meets once a month and steps out into different action steps. And we've been taking a lot of surveys through this and celebrations and asking ourselves questions of if we know how kids learn best and teachers know how we teach best, what do we do with that information to get even more traction in that? And we'll talk about our strategic plan kind of refresh here in a minute, but that's really, that work in the Big Four is really driving into that in a lot of ways. And, you know, a lot of celebrations now with new spaces at the high school, specifically Klein, and we're going to talk about a citizen advisory committee here first to look at those things in other places as well. Just that growth of that to not be pockets, but just to be pervasive, mm-hmm. you know? So that's a big celebration. PBIS, I'll just generalize, that's, you know, behavior.
Yep.
And more so just tier one behavior in the classroom. So how can we support each other? Each campus has a team that works on that and that gathers for that campus itself really what that means. So for example, let's take Winsong. Winsong's PBIS team sits together and says, what behaviors are we seeing? What's hindering learning on our campuses or on our playgrounds or in our cafeterias? They identify that. And then, for example, when we came back from break, I went over there and watched a teacher present on coding specific things into the computer to help our assistant principals, our administrative team, be able to gather better data to know, hey, Winsong, we need to do this because it might be different than Bales. It might be different than Klein.
Right.
How can we support teachers in that? And then that steps up into tier two, you know, and tier three, which is the more, you know, behaviors that we then need to look outside of the classroom. And Kimberly Davis leads this team. She's our district behavioral specialist. She's a BCBA behavior. It's her expertise. That's what her degree's in. Yeah, she's awesome. And so she comes in to be able to coach into classrooms, set up trainings, do different pieces. So that team's really working on a continuum of where are we and what's the levels that show the most gain for students and for teachers. Where do we see ourselves? What can we do to? It's a 1 through 3 scale, so they're going through all of that together and sharing ideas of what it looks like. A lot of celebrations in there of just different steps. One example is, as we came back from break, you know, typically you start the beginning of the year and that's when you do all the process and procedures. We come back from break again and, you know, a focus in each campus on let's review that, you know, what does it mean to walk in a line? What does it mean to, mm-hmm. you know, at the high school, what does it mean to be respectful? What is, I know the junior high talked about respect with each other too. That was their one piece of the puzzle.
Yes.
That they talked about, the middle piece of the puzzle. So,
and there was a cute video shown at the board meeting actually on Monday that Klein students had put together for PBIS.
How to behave in the lunchroom.
How to behave in the lunchroom. Yeah. And it was narrated and I believe created by the kiddos.
That's
and,
right.
Like, it's awesome. It's awesome.
It's probably a bad word. It's just like what the expectations are. And it's just as learners and growing and you know, for us, goal 7. You know, the as social emotional side, how do they do that?
And I think a lot of people may think some things are common sense, but everyone grows up in different environments and learns different ways of living. So I think that to have kind of a refresher of what the school's expectations are.
Yeah. Well, and just like, I think we've had this push, right, as a district towards creating standards across the board mm-hmm. that maybe weren't in place at one point. Yeah. But I mean, we've talked about this, like all of the research really supports the idea of standards. And PBIS is a part of that, of just standardizing the language that we're using so that if a kid goes from Westwood to Bales, then to the junior high, to the high school.
Yeah.
They're receiving the same types of verbiage and expectations, which is huge.
I know one of the celebrations for that team was I think it was like 85% or something they did of teachers who have a behavioral plan in place in their classroom, which before that, everyone had a plan that they articulate, but more of a systemic way of doing that. So then when you're going from class to class, going from campus to campus, those expectations, it's so much easier when you're like, these are the expectations. Why aren't you meeting the expectations? That's where we're headed to share that in a systematic way.
Yep.
Then the last one just is shared ownership. And really that's one that is probably the biggest impetus for, like, this is more than a 1 year Big Four for sure. But just sharing the ownership of our special needs students. And it's not that there ever was in time here that we don't own those kids together. I don't think that's what it is. It's more the systems in place to be able to help give our staff, our administrative team, me, frankly, more skills and intention on how we share that ownership, how we support our special needs students with teachers. It's a paradigm shift. It's messy.
Yeah.
But we're getting there. And so, that's been a big focal point for us that I'm sure will continue.
And I think, you know, that's important. I'm glad you kind of started on that, but all of these things, none of it really is new. It's just the intentionality behind the focus being placed on it
and the systems that we're giving. So, for us, Kelsey, when we're in cabinet, we talk about these four every cabinet meeting. We're in DL, our district leadership team, with all the principals, all the directors. This is what we talk about in areas in here. So, that's where we're focused. So if someone wants to hear about it, they could go back and look at some of those presentations from the board minutes.
Yep.
And we will also at the end of the year, that will be, you know, where are we? What's the data points for each one of these?
Yes. And all that gets shared. If you should receive the board report, unless you've like opted out of, just district, communication, that's non-emergency, but we do house all of the board reports on our website too, if you're interested in looking at that more. So again, speaking of the board meeting, one of the things that was part of kind of a mini learning session a little bit was presenting on the cell phone research group that was started. That may be brand new to everyone listening. Can you talk through that a little bit?
Sure. At the beginning of this year, as we went through goals for this coming year, one of the specific pieces for our Board of Trustees was let me start here. One of the specifics came out of a book study together by our board, myself, a number of us here at admin, our principals, on the book Anxious Generation.
Yep.
And I would recommend it very highly. It's not an education book. It references that in there, but I can tell you, for you, Kelsey, you're about to be a parent here in the next month. This is probably our last podcast. We'll get to talk with you. So, but for you as a parent, for me as a grandparent, I was, you know, profoundly impacted by this in terms of, we all know the cell phone pieces, the research is in there, but more, how does it affect development? And that was the light bulb for me.
Yeah.
Take my grandson, my oldest grandchild, Peter Luke Thomas, about to be three, how his development of his brain is affected by not only cell phone or not cell phones, social media.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's not the cell phone. It's not the technology. It's what's on it. The social media, and then the play side of that, the development in learning to play, and the creativity in that, and the conflict in that, and the risk in that. Those are specific things that are in there. So we read that together. And from that research, the board charged our team with review of this year of a bell to bell policy. So meaning no social media use from bell to bell, cell phone use from bell to bell. And, you know, in Friendswood and really in any change, and we've been working through this as a team too, the why behind that and the ownership of that is critical. If you just put a policy into place in Friendswood, it's not going to go.
Right.
It's not going to gain any traction. You have to do the learning behind it. And that's what the report was, is Kim Cole, who's our assistant superintendent of secondary teaching and learning. She's leading a team that, first of all, did some research on a lot of different pieces. So we heard the update of that. You could look at that presentation and see the yonder pouches, the calling schools that had it. What do our comparison groups have? And we'll launch actually this week, or excuse me, next week. Maybe not Tuesday night. I don't know. We'll see. But we'll launch this team research group that has parents, students, administrators in it to answer all the other questions of, you know, if we did this, what surveys of, like, we really focused on enforcement of this.
Right.
Our current policy, which is they need to be away during classroom time. How is that working? And then what this might look like going forward into the fall of next year. So as we approve student code of conducts, handbooks, right now the goal is a March board meeting information item on here's where we are. And the questions that everyone has, that I even have, of like the safety side. The students now receive a lot of medical information on their own phones about themselves. You got watches, you got... Mm-hmm. Earphones, you got glasses, you got everything that has technology. Like, how does that all fit together? How do parents get messages to kids now? Now you just text,
right?
Hey, you forgot your book report, you know? And there's some of that development side of, like, that's a part of that. So all those questions they're dealing with, and trying to see what's best. And then we'll share that. And you might want to talk a little bit about our hopes in a learning community, not just a school, but our community, and moving forward in some of this too, what you're taking on, you and Sophia both are really taking on from the communication side.
Yeah. So we actually met with, one of the subgroups of that. It was our counselors, and they had done all of this research, presented this research, and some of it was pretty jolting. Mm-hmm. We want to emphasize too, this is personal use technology. This is not educational technology. We definitely are firm believers in still utilizing those tools and resources because they're such a huge part of the workforce, but personal use is what the focus is. And so we started a campaign. This is our second week of things going out, but it's really to inform parents on just some of the data of this personal technology usage.
I wasn't aware of a lot of the facts that they had found either. I mean, just one of the ones that we released recently where social media can, like, damage mental health, where, like, if you're getting these notifications, whether it be from just, you know, influencers with the perfect hair and perfect bag, or right, just natural disasters across the world, you know,
cyberbullying,
all these kinds of things can happen during class, and those notifications, which I think could possibly be up to over 1,000 per day.
Think 2,400 was actually what some get, is like the one we released Wednesday, and we'll have at least one a week going out, some of that data, and then eventually get up to like about two a week when we get closer to that April board meeting. But it really, the goal is to keep our community, our parents specifically, informed so that we can really create the partnership. That's super important to us, is building a partnership between district and home, because we even have tips on things they can do at home with their kids, alternatives, and you spoke on the book. I do remember a couple years ago we did a parent power session called Screenagers.
Yeah.
And they did an experiment with mice and exposure to just to screens.
Yeah.
And the the damage done from that just on their brains, especially when they're so young and they're developing. But yeah, it's super important that we stay connected. We partner with parents that you mentioned safety. And one thing I would love to mention, just because we come from the communication aspect. So, God forbid in a crisis situation, you know, that's been one argument people have asked about is, so, well, how do I get a hold of my student? Well, we've actually been to conferences where we've heard from the public information officers for, say, Uvalde, for Santa Fe, and they have said actually the cell phone usage, and I don't remember which one it was, they had to shut off the main Wi-Fi because they could not communicate internally about the situation with the police officers because of the excessive use of cell phones. So it actually created a greater safety issue.
Yeah.
And so they had established a separate Wi-Fi to be able to use in an emergency situation. So maybe some of the thoughts that you might originally have, there would be some surprising data to actually not support support that. But I found that fascinating ever since, of just, cause I probably would have had the same question, but, no matter what, in any kind of situation, you're going to be informed by the district. We're sending something out every 15 minutes at least. So that's, anyway, that's important to note.
And let me just bounce off that too, cause this is going to be an opportunity that maybe some who are listening, or we'd ask even that you'd share. You know, you talked about instructional technology as opposed to this. And we've been working with a group that's really been targeted. And Miss Ambo, our deputy superintendent's really been working with this group on exactly that. And, you know, there won't be – technology provides such a rich opportunity for our kids in specific areas, not dead time, like let's waste time and do, you know, our policy is during inside recess, you don't use technology.
Yeah.
So we put the stuff away. That's our policy. If we have people going against that, that's a teacher issue. Just like any other teacher, go visit with your teacher or principal, whatever. But, we have specific guidelines that I think probably are unmatched in a lot of ways to other people on that. And that's found on our website. Pretty easy to find what our cell phone beliefs are or what our technology beliefs are. But it gives us such great data when we talk about personalized learning that there won't be technology-free schools, and Friendsville won't be one of them. And it's probably a bad analogy, but you take the Beltway 8 tollway. Technology right now allows us to just drive around that tollway fast, efficiently, do what we need to do to keep driving safely. If we took the technology out and we had to go back to toll booths again, where you threw the coins in the big baskets and said, you know, this technology is not something, man, it would be really hard for those organizations to effectively do it. And this morning there are kids that are on a brief amount of time in technology at the elementary level that are giving real time data to that teacher on how are we going to group our kids today or Tuesday for what learning they need to do to learn to read better,
exactly.
To learn to decode better. So that's really important. Secondly, we'd love to invite Miss Ambo and other members of our staff, and I are going to do a community book study on Anxious Generation. And so we're kind of gearing that up for the spring and hope to have one a month. And it's not going to be come advise us on what we need to do. We're just part of the team here in Friendswood of a parent community partnership of, man, we could change the world in our 14 square miles and what we do that would change the kids that come out from a school standpoint and from a parenting standpoint for that developmental side of our kids to allow them to have more grit, have more, communication skills,
yes.
develop mm-hmm. properly, all of those things. And so we just invite, and it's wide open. Anyone can come. We're going to sit in a circle. We won't have PowerPoint presentations of this. We'll jump in a little bit, but we'll be, you know, a parent-led group of what can we do as a community to rally around the elements of this to help our community as a whole, our children develop in a way that benefits them.
Absolutely.
So I'll be looking for that.
Yeah. And I loved, before we move to the next thing, y'all talked about it on Monday during our cabinet meeting, and you were saying you're really not coming as the superintendent of FISD. No. You're coming just as a partner.
Yeah, exactly.
You're coming as a parent or a grandparent, yeah, yeah. You know, and so it's very much like, equal ground.
Yeah.
You're just trying to have conversations.
100%. I'll be able to, you know, there will be some questions, and we'll be able to share some of the things we're doing inside the school for that 8 to 4 time frame, or 8 to 3 time frame to help with this. We've talked a little bit about it in this segment, but more as a, you know, my, you know, 2011, I think, is when smartphones came out, you know, so I was in the early, as a parent, I was in there. I didn't know what I was doing.
Right.
Man, if I could go back, I could have done way, way better, way, way better job. And it's evolved. And I feel like the group of parents now are the ones, and it's have so much hope just for them of saying, hey, wait a second here, you know, something's not right, mm-hmm. you know, and we could change that. And I really feel like the mistakes that I made as a parent and am now learning and as a grandparent have changed even my actions, you know, or as you and I talk about, you raising a little one, changing what we talk about, you know, and our principal, you know, we're all in on this idea, together. So yes, just sitting there alongside Lauren has 2 boys.
Yep.
She has a junior high, student who will be going to high school before she can blink her eye, an elementary student. She's living it right now. So she's sitting there as a parent, trying to learn alongside everybody else. And it's been beneficial for us to talk about it and read about it. And so we just want to sit alongside our folks and do that.
Absolutely. And, speaking of partnerships, we are partnering with the community in our Citizens Advisory Committee. That's a big deal coming up, right?
So big deal.
Let's talk about what is, for people who don't know, what is a Citizens Advisory Committee? We also call it a CAC or a CAC. And what role has it played in Friendswood ISD?
So, my first year as a superintendent was the 2017-18 school year. And, we hadn't had a long range facility plan for quite a while, 13 years, I think, since the last bond at that time. And so we really wanted to know as a team here, where our facilities were, what, the hopes and dreams were, and also what the needs were, of, you know, we're celebrating our 85 years. And we have campuses that started at that time that we've built onto. They're not all 85 years old, obviously, but we committed at that time to every 5 years looking at where we were with our facilities. And that first group drove out the 2020 bond. And it's been 5 years. It's hard to believe.
I know. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
It happens fast.
Hard to believe that it's been 5 years, but we're getting ready to kick off basically a advisory committee that's made up of a majority of our citizens, students, teachers, administrators, board members will be there to be part, to listen. To take the 2020 plan, that has much more than what we actually did, review that, go back and review the needs, that have come around since that time, and do our, you know, catch up, but also, you know, our belief of construction can lead to better instruction and what that might look like, at our campuses.
I mean, walk through the high school and you'll see the shining example,
yeah,
of that.
Right.
I mean, it's incredible.
Right. And incredible. So, you know, we met yesterday we have a new architect firm, that will be part of this, VLK Architects. We met with them yesterday. We set up 5 meetings that will begin, at the end of this month. And then, go into February, March, April with the hopes of if something comes out of this in terms of this is where our focal points are, we'll come out in May. And we'll be reviewing that old plan, reviewing demographic studies, reviewing what was done, what wasn't done, looking at our older campuses, Westwood, oldest campus right now, and evaluating, you know, our priority one needs for that campus. So what would we need to do to make Westwood last another 10 years and then weigh that against a rebuild, for example, of a Westwood Bales campus, our two older campuses, in the light of, you know, construction leading to more profound instruction. What might that look like? Ag Barn was the last, when we drew the line, the Ag Barn was the next thing on the top of the list. We need to review that. The other pieces that are part of that, our athletic facilities, our other campuses, needs. So, really interested in, outdoor spaces that are, accessible, and that mirror some of what we've done already in other places. So I'm really excited. We have a lot to talk about. Those will kick off and we'll, you know, as a team, update our community on where we're going.
Absolutely.
What we're talking about. I can see videos as part of that. I can see just different reports. You know, we'll be sharing that with different members of our community. So yeah, I'm excited to kick that off. And we have dates set from yesterday. We still have some finalization to do on that. VLK will start with, you know, every director and campus of, okay, it's been 5 years, guys. Where are we? Where do we sit today? Mm-hmm. So then that drives to, you know, financially, where are we? What is a no tax rate increase. So if we just stay, you know, kind of right where we are, what would that look like? What does, 4 cents on every $100 of value, what does 7 cents look like? So what's the appetite for the willingness for our community? I'm a taxpayer. So what I'm willing to put in to, provide for our kids with knowing Friendswood ISD is the driver of our economy here in Friendswood, biggest employer. The reason people move here is for the safety that our city provides and also the schools. So,
and I'll just say we have such a supportive community as far as our school system. I mean, it's part of our foundation literally as a community, faith, family, and education. And that has shown, and we are so grateful to our stakeholders for passing the 2020 bond, for allowing us to be able to create these incredible spaces. Like you've emphasized many times, these are your spaces. These are the community spaces. So we want you to be a part of this process. That's why we have the CAC and really just, again, maybe for people who don't know, it might be important to share. So the CAC brings forth recommendations. The board actually has to call for a bond, and then the community has to pass the bond.
Right.
So there's definitely some steps there, but
so that and to that point, the opportunities for that vote are in November or in May. Those are the two times where you can bring that decision forward to your community. So this group is working on if they come out with something, would be in November. You know, second Tuesday in November with early voting, kind of same concept that we have every year, idea of that.
And I know we're pretty transparent about the process as it goes along. And,
for sure.
So if anybody doesn't know, you can find a lot of the information as we go forward or for the past bond that we did, on our website as well.
On our website, we definitely keep documentation of like everything, all the presentations. And then the last bond, which you mentioned we would likely do for this is, almost like video tours of some of the needs. And then once a bond is actually called for legally, we're very limited on what we can do or say, but, leading up to that, we try to make everyone as informed as possible. So you will be informed for sure throughout this process. There's no doubt about that.
Right.
Another big another big thing, kind of our last big thing to hit on, our strategic plan refresh.
Right.
Let's talk about it.
So, it's good timing, but it's also hard because capacity wise, that's big work and it's going to be happening at the same time. So just, you know, when we started both of these before, it's just so happens we're hitting them at the same time. It's just kind of where we are. Is, you know, our strategic plan, which you can be fine, which is our North Star aspiration, our 7 goals, specifically 13 beliefs, our student outcomes. It's time to relook at those again. You know, we developed those with a very large committee, which really changed the trajectory from their voices. Mm-hmm. Not ours.
Right.
We didn't sit around a table with 8 people and say, hey, this is where we should go. It was really that voice that charged us with what we're experiencing now. And I think it is the right direction, for us. It's a moral obligation for us for those 7 goals. We still have work to do in each one of them. And I can see this refresh of just looking at those 7, 13 and our students and saying, maybe how do we narrow those? How do we focus those more in actions to have more action, in the classroom, for experiences for those listening, for their children and for our community. So it is a February, March process. It's a large group again, same kind of idea as a Citizens Advisory Committee, all publics represented. And then, you know, what we've learned from our last strategic plan, and you know this from our talks in our district leadership team meeting, is then rolling it out and the responsibility of it on each campus administrator, assistant principals, a community as a whole, and refreshing that for a 3-year period. So this will again go to the board for them to approve. They'll be part of creating this. There's members of the board on this team, and then we'll be presenting it to the board kind of in the same time frame as a Citizen Advisory Committee recommendations. In terms of like changes or new priorities, I would just say kind of I think more of a narrowing and having walked through the experience itself already, the importance of this now is very clear to us as an organization. And so the intention of, before we create a strategic plan, redefine success, what does that mean? Well, that's what drove out all the opportunities that we have now across our 6 campuses that kids are getting to experience. It was driven out of that. Without that, we still would have been defining success as college bound. That's where we were.
Yeah.
So defining that, or focusing more of our actions on that than where we were because of what we've learned. Goal 5 for us just talks about our facilities, our budgets, focusing on those specific things. So the bond and the construction was driven out of goal 5 for us. Mm-hmm. And it will, I see it go, you know, that a goal along those same directions being the same thing. And that really drives our expenditures, drives our things we talk about, what we do in our board agendas, drives all of those things. So in terms of changes of direction, I don't see a change of direction. I just see a refinement in that, more than anything.
Yeah. And I mean, any successful company has a mission, has a strategic plan. And so we are operating under the same kind of guise of, this is needed as far as just providing that direction, something we can point back to. And all the decisions that we make, this is why we're making those decisions.
I think we'll look at our call to action, and our call to action is unique in that it has two pieces that guide all our actions through authentic relationships and authentic experiences. That's how we believe change happens, is through the relationships And then through experience, and what we want to do is just touch the passion of every kid and the direction they want to go. We have something for them. We have a pathway that we'll pursue for them.
Success can look like many different things.
100%.
Absolutely. Well, we are approaching about an hour here, and so I think we're going to just go over a few upcoming dates for everyone to kind of note. So first Monday, like Thad mentioned, is MLK holiday. So student staff are off that day. Again, kind of be on the lookout for some of the weather communication that will be coming out regarding at least Tuesday next week. On February 14th and 17th, we have professional learning days. Those are student holidays. So you'll get to, if your student has a little special Valentine, they'll get to celebrate that day outside of school. Mustang Senior Citizens Meeting, which is one of our favorite days every semester, is scheduled for March 14th, 9 a.m. So we invite our grandparents or just our community seniors to come out, hear about all the great things that are happening in the district, get a t-shirt, get a gold card. I know
we have a lot of new Mustang senior citizens as well. So
let me tell you, the amount of applications that have come in for that gold card, it's unbelievable. There are so many. And I mean, they're such a huge part of the fabric of this community. And so this has been a great way to build relationships with those.
And those just folks. A little teaser for that, for those who've listened this long, it's a road trip.
Yes.
We're going on the road, March 14th, 9 a.m. We're going to go up and see the culinary space, take advantage of the skills of those kids, and have some good food with them, and then go down and check out our engineering space, which, you know, thanks to Mike Foreman and Adam Ring and the Education Foundation and those who've done some of these legacy grants, we got more tools. We have a lathe, we have plasma cutters, we make our own parts, we'll fire some rockets and some robots up. if you're a Mustang senior, you do not want to miss
you
this
don't
you
miss
don't
it.
Want to miss this one. And you get to ride on a yellow school bus,
which is classic.
I mean,
right?
Who does
takes
not want to do that, right? Sophia, you love the ride on the school
oh,
bus,
love
don't
it.
You
love it? And I only get to do it first day of school, so
yeah.
Right. Keep, oh my gosh.
And I'm looking forward to meeting the new Mustang senior citizens.
Yes.
As
we,
well
we yes. have a lot of reoccurring familiar yes. faces at each meeting, but we always have a few new ones too, so
100%.
It's so fun. And
March 14th, 9 a.m.
Don't yes. miss that
and
one.
We will be pushing that out and again various avenues, but if you have filled out an application for a gold card, you are on our email list and you will definitely be receiving an email, so be on the lookout for that. Spring break scheduled for March 17th through 21st. And then last, kind of one of our things that we've really loved, also came out of our strategic plan,
right, goal one,
is the day of service is scheduled for April 18th. It is a professional learning day for staff, and students have this day off, so it is totally optional to participate. But we have found that because of the hearts of our, I mean, we saw that just recently with supporting Walt Disney Elementary and Alvin ISD, we have such a giving, such a generous community. And this day is a reflection of that for our staff, for our parents, for our kids to just go out and serve.
Yeah.
So that's another big thing to look forward
big
to.
Big deal.
Yeah.
Big deal. Day of service. And a couple things with that is, you know, there's maybe you're a member of a church or an organization that you have a project. We got people looking for projects to do, groups. You know, oftentimes we'll have a baseball team or volleyball team take on a project or a campus or central office. So if you have something and you want to share, you know, you could email Kelsey or Sophia and
we'll connect you.
We'd love to also spotlight maybe
example.
Some
yeah.
of the opportunities for that day.
Yeah.
Yes, we can definitely. I mean, usually the more so than trying to get volunteers, it's trying to figure out what they
yeah.
can do, like identifying
right.
needs.
Right.
So if there is a need, if you have a neighbor who you know needs help mowing their grass, I mean, it
right.
can be as simple as that.
Yep.
But yes, definitely reach out. We can, there's certainly ways we can connect you to a group. So with that, that's kind of a look at our spring semester.
Yeah. And I know you just put new school calendar out.
Yes, for people that's another
who are,
big deal.
People who are interested in what's next year's schedule going to look like.
Yeah, everyone yes. can plan their where vacations can, where can they accordingly.
Find, where can they find that?
Yeah, so if you go to our website, myfisd.com, go to Explore FISD Academic Calendar, and there is a link. There's a big button at the top that will say approved 25-26 academic calendar. You can download it there. We've also created a graphic we've pushed out on social media, and it will be in our newsletter that will go out on Sunday. That just kind of makes a kind of a clean look for vacation planning. So the days that our students are going to have off, if you're already trying to plan vacations for the 25-26 school year. So yeah, you can find it. You can find it in our board report. You can find it in our newsletter. You can find it on our website. You can find it on social media. There's
lots of places to see that.
Lots of places to find that calendar, because we know what a big deal that is.
Yeah.
And we're excited to kind of look ahead to that year.
Yeah. A lot of student successes coming up this spring too. I am going to leave this afternoon to head north to Dallas to cheer on our UIL cheer team to get yes. ready to go try for another state championship. They won the year before. Yeah. They were second last year. And so I got great hopes for standing on Saturday morning and seeing our team on the podium somewhere, hopefully in that first position. But they do an outstanding job. Our basketball teams are doing great things. Wrestling, I put state wrestling on my calendar yesterday. I'm sure we'll have some state wrestlers. State swim is coming up. We have yep. a swimmer that's broken every records, KK LeBlanc mm-hmm. and her
She's
teammates.
She's going to Ohio State, I believe, right?
She is she going committed. To yeah. Ohio State, so she better be rooting for them.
I'm sure
coming
she
up.
Is.
Yeah. a lot of student successes come up. Musical is coming
yeah,
up.
Yeah, musical's coming up.
That's Mary Poppins.
That's
yeah.
going to be
Mary Poppins
big
will
deal.
Be flying on the new stage.
It's going to be, I mean, another if you haven't
teaser.
Been in there, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Just amazing facility. We also heard we had five choir students.
Right. All state.
And we just received a list. We have 31 students. 31. That's a lot, right?
That was the longest list I've ever seen
it's
in all my years here.
For national recognition programs.
National merit.
So,
yeah.
Hispanic, African American. And this year they did a first generation recognition. So
really cool.
Yeah, we'll be honoring lots of kids in February at the board meeting,
yep.
even some Westwood super readers.
That's
so
right.
We're excited.
Yep.
We always have lots of things to celebrate here for sure. There's in fact it's trying to get them all in.
I know.
It's
yep.
I know.
It's a good problem to have.
Good problem to have.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
For coming on.
Yeah, good.
Giving everyone
good
a little
time,
spring
yeah.
update.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. That's
yes.
right.
And we'll keep you posted for sure on
yeah.
on next week and what that'll look like. But any questions regarding anything we talked about, it's open line of communication. Always fill out an email, or we have a Let's Chat feature on our website that will direct you to the right person. So
and that's anything.
Yeah.
Even stuff we haven't talked about today. Please,
right.
please go to your campus principal, or if not, go there and we can get you what you need.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for
you.
Your time.
Thanks,
and
ladies.
Y'all have a great semester.
All right.